Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Well, we have dear friends here today with us. Some of you remember Pastor Ed Wells from Switzerland was with us last summer, 2023. He introduced us to friends from Oradea, Romania. And if you can put that on the screen, I want you to see where it is. Some of you have no idea where Romania is. So we have that slide somewhere? We do? There we go. Anyway, so you can see where the pin is. It's right there in Eastern Europe. Used to be part of the Austria-Hungarian Empire, and it is a beautiful place. I had no idea. Our friends, he'll probably tell you a little bit, but they live in the state or section of Romania called Transylvania. And so but he's here today. Anyway, no. Anyway, we love them. They're great people. Pastor Ted and Mona Lisa, second generation pastors. Pastor Ted's dad is in heaven now, but he started the church when the communist walls fell down in the early 90s. Got training, brought the whole family to America for a couple of years. And it's such a blessing. I'd like you to get up on your feet and give a great Now Church welcome to Pastor Ted Chuchui as he comes. Chuchui, everybody say Chuchui.
Thank you guys, you may be seated. I wanna make sure you guys meet my wife, Mona Lisa. Would you stand up? This is my wife, Mona Lisa. Isn't she prettier than the picture? Leonardo da Vinci should have painted her, not... I married up, that's all I can say. I was in Paris and trying to get on the plane to fly to America, and the guy there that allows you to get on the tunnel and go, he looked at me and like, you're a lucky man. I say, I'm a blessed man. It is so good to be with you guys. I hope you understand my accent. You know, I come from Transylvania. I may, hope I don't, you know, start speaking in Romanian here. But we were really blessed this year to meet Pastor Richard. And then we really hit it off. It's like we've always known each other. And it was great to meet Pastor Gail and then Chris, Tristan, everybody. It's been so nice. And we're just happy that you guys want to come to Romania. So he's already telling me that there's plans, you know, in the making to come and minister. So come. We would love to have you. We'll try to keep you away from all the werewolves. You know, we'll do our best. Just be prayed up when you come. That's all I say. Prayed up. All right. Well, thank you for not starting the timer. That's really a blessing. Because, you know, I have to think in Romanian and then say it in English. And so it may take longer. So I mean, I have all this. The guys that receive the notes, they're probably like, we're going to be here for hours. But there's going to be a pizza phone number that you get pizza delivery. We're going to split in half the sermon. Have some pizza and then part two. Uh-oh, they started the timer, so there's no joke. So I want to talk about, I felt the Lord really quicken into my spirit, you know. The title of my message is, These Blessings Are Ours. These blessings are ours. Would you turn to your neighbor left and right and just say, this blessing is yours, man or woman. These blessings are yours. So if you came today and you're like, well, this worship was so awesome. And I tell you what, Lindsay and the worship band, my goodness, you brought me into the presence of God. Did you see me jumping? Because I love the worship in our church. I really do. And I really believe that there's going to be people, I felt in my spirit, there's going to be people that are going to come because they're going to love to worship like you worship. And Ocala needs a worship like it's here. Like the fire that you guys have here, you're going to see. It's just going to come more and more because you guys are going to draw. Thank you for being so open and just having the spirit of David and just worship. Oh, I so enjoyed it. And I'm glad. I tell you why I'm glad in American churches is like you come into a freezer. I understand why. See, back home, it's warm. When you come in, Pastor Richard's all sweaty, because it's warm. So when I dance, I get sweaty. I go home, and I'm all sweaty, man. I just have to change everything, you know. But here, you can dance as much as you want. There's no sweat on me, because it's a refrigerator in here. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. But you can go back home to your chimney, you know, and stay close to the heat and just warm up a bit. All right. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 1. So as we turn to Ephesians, or as the guys that put up the on the screen, the idea about Ephesians is whenever you feel like, I don't know if God loves me, I don't know if he has anything for me, and you are like in a doubt, Ephesians is a good book to go to. Because, see, Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians was not written as a, to address a problem. You know, whenever you read a letter meant to address a problem, you're going to hear about the problem and the solution, but this one is not. This one, like the letter to the Romans, this was just to present the beauty of the church, the beauty of the believer. So it's a beautiful, a lot of the Bible commentators named this, the epistle to the Ephesians, the queen of the letters, the queen of the epistles. So anyway, I want you to understand where we're reading from. It says from the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And everybody says, amen. Now, wasn't that beautiful? So, I came to the States after the Iron Curtain fell down in Romania. Can you imagine Romanians killed the president Ceausescu on the December 25th on Christmas Day? But we came back. We came here. We came to Portland. And one of the things, see, back home, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and most of the time when we would pray, the Pentecostals in Romania would pray just to get with other believers, you know. And so I came back and I came to the church in Portland, and they're like, no, Matthew 6:6 says when you pray, go into your prayer closet. We should also pray alone. Okay, that's good. So I really had an encounter with God as a teenager in America, in Portland, Oregon. And I just really loved God, and I wanted to serve Him. And so, but I would go into my prayer closet, and I would pray 5 minutes, you know, like I would know what to say 5 minutes. But then, you know, like, thank you, Lord, for making the world. You know, like I lost my words. You know, it's like you meet with a person that is for the first time, and you don't have a lot of things in common. So, you want to talk about the weather? You want to talk about games? What do you like? Football, soccer, right? And so, the pastors, they realized that the youth need a guide. And so, I got a guide. To pray. And it was like the Lord's Prayer. It was really good. Really good guide. And it really helps in the beginning to, you know, learn what to talk to God about. And so at Thanksgiving, there was this thing that we would have there. Thank God for His spiritual blessings. Right? And so I'd be like, okay, what are they? Because, you know, I loved God, but I was trying to remember what are the spiritual blessings. I didn't focus on them. So I promise you, I would quickly get to the material blessings. I love the material blessings. Because sometimes when we come to God, sometimes we come and we look at His hands. God, what can I get? Can I get health from you? Can I get a new car from you? Can I get a girlfriend, a wife? You know what I'm saying? You look at His hand, what can He offer? But the more you spend time with God, you realize His face, who He is. It's like, Lord, forget your hands. I want to just marvel at who you are, to your beauty. And so I want you to, today as we focus on the spiritual blessings, I want you when you go and you pray and you're in your prayer closet and you do the thanksgiving and at spiritual blessings, I want you to just like know how to pray and how to thank God for the blessings that He has bestowed upon you. And Apostle Paul here talks to us about it. So what I want to do is I want to answer three questions that the text here addresses. And so I want to focus on this, the how blessed we are, but not necessarily I want not materially, though we are blessed materially, we thank God for the fact that you're here, you had health to walk on 2 feet and breathe air. That's a blessing. Amen. You got clothes to put on and they're fairly good. That's a blessing. Right? You got a car. You drove a car. Do you know how privileged you are according to the other rest of the population of the world? But so many times when we talk about blessing, we don't understand what the word blessing is in the original. So, you know, the New Testament was not written in English in the beginning. I mean, you knew that. No. It was in Greek. And so people do their best at translating. You know, so when you're blessed, you're like, because then we get the word that how blessed is used to say, like, you know, bless you, you know, be blessed. We wish them well, really, you know, be blessed. Bless you, son, bless you. You know, like, you hear people, Johnny fell down and broke his leg.
Bless his heart.
Right? But you know what blessing in the Greek? Blessing in the Greek, remember that blessing in the Greek is closer to shalom. Blessing is, in the Greek, means every joy and every benefit that your heart and soul longs after and needs. That's blessing. Every joy and every benefit that your heart and soul longs after and needs. So I want to quickly answer the three questions. What are every spiritual blessing? Name a few. And then how do we receive them? Because we want to receive them. How is it possible? And then I want to end with how can somebody become a Christian? Because all these three questions are addressed in this passage. So let's go to the first one. What are every spiritual blessing? When it says every spiritual blessing, the Bible is not like some, it's every. Now, Paul doesn't have the time, you know, to go over everyone here, but he names a few. But I want you to see something about these heavenly blessings, the spiritual blessings. These spiritual blessings have a location, and that location is heavenly places. They are higher, and let me say this, they're better than the earthly blessings. You see, when you have something precious, I talk to Americans. We don't have so much in Romania, but you guys have like special things you want to just keep safe from thieves and, you know, all these things. So you have a safe deposit, right? Am I right? You have a safe deposit. You don't need a safe deposit for these blessings. They are in heavenly places. They're safe. They're safe. And they're better. You know why they're better? Like, here's the deal. Like, wives that have a husband who you know, needs a changed heart, a new coat won't do it. A new heart, though, you would be grateful for a new heart in your husband. A new heart in your wife. How about your kids? A new heart in your kids. Wouldn't that be a blessing in the family? See, it's much better than the material blessings. So, look, he mentions four, and you know, we're just going to cruise through them a little bit. So I want you, when you come and you pray, I want you to remember them. Number one that he mentions, he says in verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Believers are chosen by God. We didn't, it says, you didn't choose him. He chose you. I thought I chose him. I know. But then you, so salvation is like this. This is whoever believes. And then you believe and you repent and you walk through the door of salvation. And then you close the door. And as you close the door, you read the verse above the door. He says, you didn't choose me. Are you kidding yourself? I chose you. I gave you the faith to believe. It was a gift from me. You were dead in your trespasses. There's something beautiful about the faith. If you're here, you believe. That's, you were chosen. How do I know? Do you believe? You're chosen. That's how you know. You know, there's something beautiful about being chosen. You know, you try to, you know, get a job application and you apply to something, but that's something you did. And so because of you impress them with your job application, your degrees, you're like, I was chosen. Yeah, that's great. You know, that's great. But what about, okay, let me give you a scenario where I didn't do nothing. So I end up in seventh grade in Mount Tabor Middle School in Portland, Oregon. And academically, I was a little bit higher than my classmates. Let me just put it that way. At the certain subjects. Now, literature, English literature, I was like nothing. Do you guys have poems here? I didn't know. So, but when it comes to math, there was no equal. So I was so advanced in seventh grade that my teacher said, you know what, this is amazing. You're like such a genius, Dad. And took a picture of me, right? And as you walk through the hallways of my school, you see my teacher with me. I mean, I was there on the board because I was a genius. So back home, I was in my B's, but here, man, I got A+. So So I finished seventh grade, and in the vacation time, we got a letter from the school. My father opens it up, and it's about me, your son. My real name, Pastor Richard would know, is Theodore Benjamin Chuchui IV. That's my real name. I'm not joking. So Theodore Benjamin Chuchui, I go by Ted. It's just simpler, you know, it's just easy. But so the principal says, your son is amazing. You know, in the letter, your son is amazing. So what we've done is all these amazing people in our school, we're having a special eighth grade class. It's just going to be the genius, all the smart people. And we're going to prepare them to be the next generation engineers, you know. Your son, he said, was chosen. There's something, I didn't apply, and I was chosen out of everybody in all those, I don't know how many seventh grade classes we had, but I was the one chosen. And man, was I grateful. I didn't go because they put me in private school because there was a lot of fighting in there, just gangs. So the first day I got on an American school, I had a bad experience. Two guys came from with this gang and just tried to beat me up. Welcome to America. But I didn't. I was taught not to respond because it's not good. You got a whole gang against you, so I let them hit me. I was a little bit chubbier, and just it didn't feel nothing, you know. Just take your best shot. The fat just absorbed every hit. So. It's wonderful to be chosen. But listen, I was chosen by the principal of Mount Tabor School. But you know what? You were chosen by the God of this universe. God says, you know what? I want to spend eternity with you. Eternity in my house. There are many mansions, said God. Many spaces for everybody that I want to spend eternity with. You and I were chosen. How about that? We didn't choose him. He chose us. So that's God's election. Now, it says that we're not only chosen for salvation, we're chosen for sanctification, to be holy. Now, holy is more than just being moral. Holy means to be set apart for another use. We were at a conference with Pastor Richard, and one of the sermons was, what can I do for you, Lord? Because really, you are called not only for eternity, you are called to be holy. And here's, I want to give you a quote from Bible commentary, Barnes & Notes on the Bible. This is what it says. God did not choose us merely that we should enter into heaven. It is not that we may live in sin. It is not that we may flatter ourselves that we are safe and then live as we please. The tendency among people has always been to abuse the doctrine of predestination and election, to lead people to say that if all things are fixed, there's no need of effort, that if God has an eternal plan, no matter how people live, they will be saved if he has elected them, and that at all events, they cannot change that plan, and they may as well enjoy life by indulgence in sin. The Apostle Paul held no such view of the doctrine of predestination. In his apprehension, it is a doctrine suited to excite the gratitude of Christians. And the whole tendency and design of the doctrine, according to him, is to make people holy and without blame before God in love. In love. Yes, you are free. And yes, there is a plan. We think in a linear way. We believe that time is a linear matter. If we are 100% free, then destiny is not ordained. Or if you are 100% free and zero God's plan, or if you are 100% God's plan, then there's zero free. It doesn't matter what you do. But the Bible says you are 100% free. And God's plan is 100% being accomplished. You are 100% responsible for what you do. And you can just relax. God is 100% in control. Isn't that the beauty? That's the beauty. We're chosen not only for salvation, we're chosen for sanctification. Number two, adoption. Verse 5 and 6, that's the second spiritual blessing. So you can thank God for his election. I'm chosen. You can thank God for his adoption. Not only did he choose you, but he adopted. He said, look what he says. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons. I know some of the ladies are like, what? What's with the gender thing? Listen, we guys have to also get used to the fact that we are the bride of Christ. So you get used to the idea that you are sons in the kingdom, okay? You just have to get used to these things. It's the best metaphor the Bible could find. As sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us and the beloved. You know, it is his desire, God's desire, that we should enjoy adoption as sons. It's interesting that what adoption means through Christ is that God is not only our king, he's not only our deliverer, but he's our daddy. Abba, Father, Dada, Dada, Dada. You were brought into his family. There's something special about being in a special family. You may have a great family, but to be in God's family, listen, I don't care how rich your family is. My daddy owns the world and the stars. You want to put your dad and my daddy back to back? At one point, as I was working, does time in America go faster than in Romania? Like, I just looked and it was 15 minutes and now it's 7. You guys are fast here. So I don't have time to tell the story. We'll tell it later as I talk on the lobby. So what it means, adoption means, it means access. You have access. Anytime, any day. You know, if you were the president of the United, if you were the son of the president of the United States, you wouldn't have to go through all the security. It's just ID, sir, what, you have an appointment. It's just let you in. Because you're the son. You're family. So access, but it also means security. You know, there's a lot of talk. You know, you guys have unions here. You guys made unions. What an invention. What an invention. The employers are just crazy. Why did they invent the unions, right? Because unions try to talk about job security, right? Right, and we're going to come work for you, and then you're going to hire, fire me. But the reality is there's only so much the employer can put up with an employee. Like, how much can you ruin the company and still be hired? You know what I mean? Like, still be on the payroll. You just lost us $1 million. But you know what? You're going to stay here. And when I told my manager that, you know, I'm Theodore Benjamin Chuchui IV, he freaked out. It's like, oh my goodness, I read about your dad in the history books. Not your dad, your grandparents. Really? I said, yes. I'm like, okay, tell me more about it. So we're like living in an apartment. You don't understand. I came from Romania. They put us in a 2-bedroom apartment. You know, we got a Pontiac as a car. It was beat up. We didn't even have money to fix it. So the trunk would never close. We had like a little rope that we would tie it. This is true. All through all our American time here, we had the Pontiac, beat up Pontiac with the little rope. I don't even know how we were able to sell it when we left America. But listen, so he thought I was the descendant of a king in Romania. He thought that I am a prince. I didn't say no. You said it. I didn't say it. It wasn't my job application. The prince, no. And you know, the employer is always right. You know that? Am I going to disagree with him? If you say so, you're always right. But, you know, as the people, the guys, my guys were, you know, talking with me, they all believed that I was the prince and all that. And the fact is, it gets to your head. Because then you hear it all the time, you believe it, right? So I go back home to my dad, and I begin to wonder, like, we're living in this, you know, really bad apartment, like old. We drive this beat-up Pontiac, and we buy from secondhand stores all our clothes, you know. You know, I have to whiten all the shoes that I get with paint, you know, because the soles are not white anymore. And come on, my manager said that we're like descendants of King. And what is this, like the movie, you know, coming with Eddie Murphy? What is this that you're doing with me here? Just to get me humble? It's like, no, we're not dead. You know, I don't know what your manager, you know, said to you. So anyway, when I went back to Romania, I took my grandfather and I said, Grandpa, tell me about your dad. What was your dad? A farmer. Okay, no problem. What was his dad? A farmer. Oh, and his dad? A farmer, as long as we can remember. It ruined it for me. So what we have here, the reason I say that, because I did some things. I almost crashed the car at the car wash that I worked at, Henry's Car Wash. But he said, the manager said, you know, if you wouldn't be a king, Ted, or a prince, you know, I would fire you. So, security. Listen, my kids do crazy stuff. My kids do crazy stuff, but you know what? I don't disown them. They know their bed is there. It's not like, you were bad today. Go to the neighbors and sleep over. He doesn't have any security. Will he sleep the next day in his own bed? Because he's not an employee. He's my son. He may do crazy things, but he's my son. You see, many times we beat up ourselves, but just here's the deal. He's your father. He's your father. Some of you haven't gotten that prayer closet because you're just full of all these thoughts of, you know, am I worthy? Listen, he's your father. Go to him. Go to him. So really fast. Redemption. That's the third. Redemption. Listen, redemption implies, that's the third spiritual blessing, implies being a price being paid for your freedom. And that price paid was not purchased with Christ's sinless life or his moral example. It was purchased with his blood. See, humans are not free. Humans are captive to sin. Humans can't stop sinning. Humans need money, power, recognition, love to feel important. But it is his redemptive power. And the price paid for your redemption. You're free. Free from sin, from the power of sin, was purchased by his blood. Inheritance. That's the fourth one. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Did you know that in Roman times only sons could inherit property? Only sons. That's why all the women of God are sons. Because they are co-heirs with us. Amen? How do we receive every spiritual blessing? 10 seconds. That's all I have. The idea that you see in Christ. That's the thing. How do we see? You have to be in Christ. When you become a Christian, you're put in him. That means legally, that means all the benefits that Christ earned because of his obedience, it belongs to you now. You know, I bought a land before I married Mona Lisa. I bought a land, and 10 years later, I was able to go to the notary and close the deal. And when we closed the deal, the notary's like, are you married? Yes. Well, then you bring your wife. She needs to sign. She didn't buy it. She didn't pay the piece for the piece of land. It was my money. But are you married? Yes. Bring your wife. Okay, Mona, you got to come to the notary. I'm married. But she didn't pay nothing. It was my money. But she's on the property deed. She's an owner. As if she paid. That's us, my friends, in Christ. That is us, legally. Your time, we're up. I mean, I'm way over. You gotta come for the second service. I'll try to continue. But here's I want to end with how do you become a Christian? It says here's what says. It says that we have received a guarantee, and it's the Holy Spirit. How do we know all these things are in our inheritance is real? How do we know? It says that we have received the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a seal. He has sealed us. The Holy Spirit is a seal. And he came into my heart and he came into your heart and changed everything in us. I had desires. I had the desire to pray. What teenager at 12 has a desire to read through the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and not get stuck in Numbers? It's the Holy Spirit. But he put in me desires, and it was as if I didn't understand all this stuff, you know, the blood offerings and all this leprosy. But I understand one thing. I heard his voice, and it was my father's voice. As I was reading through the Bible, I was just becoming more in love with God. It was his voice that was permeating through my heart. And I said, Daddy. And I just love to stand in your presence and just rest in your arms. And Apostle Paul says, you believed and you were sealed. What did he say you believe? If you read, it says, you believe the word of truth, the gospel. To become a Christian doesn't mean you have to do something to become a Christian. You have to believe something that has been done. See, the gospel is not that you do this and you get saved. The gospel, God has done this so you can be saved. The gospel is to believe the good news about what Christ has already done for you. And also, if you're here today and you're like, I want in. This is the family to be part of. Well, if you believe the gospel, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are welcome into this family, beautiful family. I want to pray for you, and then because I'm way over my time, and then I'm going to have Pastor Richard come and lead you into a prayer. You can become a Christian. Those of you watching online, this is for you. This message is for everybody that hears. The gospel is the good news. And if today you believe, this is your day. This is the day of your salvation. Not the rest of us who are Christian, this is the day of realization. Man, I'm blessed. Man, I was chosen by God. I was adopted as sons. I have been redeemed. I'm free, and there's an inheritance for me. Church, the future is looking bright. Our future is eternal. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Richard will come. Father, I want to thank you for every person that came here this morning. I want to thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, moving and touching our hearts. I pray that we would see the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and be grateful every day that we are chosen, your elect, that we have been adopted as your sons, that we have been redeemed, and that we are, because we are in you, Lord, there's an inheritance waiting for us. May we live for your glory. May you use us to spread the gospel to every person we encounter. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, create such a gratitude in us that we would walk out of this place smiling, understanding how blessed we are. In Jesus' name I pray.
Give it up for Pastor Ted Chichui. Theodore Benjamin Chichui, the fourth, a prince. Well, that's amazing. If you prayed that prayer today, or you want to pray that prayer, believing is not a head knowledge. It's not There's a difference between believing in God and knowing Jesus. It's a difference. I believed in God all my life. I bet there was 10 minutes that I doubted God when I was about 16, when this kid moved in the neighborhood and he was from an atheist family and asked me these dumb questions. Oh, these atheist questions they ask to try to, you know, it's crazy. And I, for 10 minutes, I kind of, and then I thought, no, but I believe in God. But I didn't know Jesus. It wasn't until I was in a situation at 19 that I didn't know what to do. And the words of my aunt that was a strong spirit-filled Christian rang in my heart as she said, when you get in trouble, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved, delivered, set free. And when I did that, my life changed. If you're here today or you're watching online, I really do feel like there's people watching online, maybe in the room. Just say this out loud. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm tired of running it for myself. I give you the keys to my heart, and I ask you to forgive me and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, your life, it's a beginning, it's a walk, it's a relationship, and we want to disciple you. We want you to let us know either at the guest experience on your way out or tell of us, one of us pastors, Pastor Lindsay, myself, whatever, some of our leaders are toward the front. Just tell somebody, I prayed that prayer. We want to help you walk with God, okay? That's the greatest miracle, the greatest miracle, the greatest miracle there's.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.